Yeah, it's been an odd week.
Yeah, it's only Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just all a bit. Nah, I don't know.
Go on, why has it been odd?
Don't know. Saturday was interesting. I was doing something for work, an event that we do, and I was talking to another member of staff from another organization, let's go that
That's
way.
vague, yeah, nicely vague, yeah, go on.
Yeah, nicely vague. And in all the discussions we have ever had with other people, this was the most random, where I didn't even start the conversation, but this other person was like on a full-on rant about how we've all had the wool pulled over our eyes about everything, and they are more veganism's not an answer. They're much that what was it? There's not enough nutrients in plant food. There's way more nutrients in meat. And there's no arguing with me because I know I'm right. And it was like,
Brilliant.
I couldn't even have a discussion. It was just, there's no point you saying anything to try and change my mind. I know that I'm right. So
Was
you're,
it
you,
Piers Morgan undercover?
do you know what? I think I'd have rather have spoke to him at the time.
Oh, wow.
But it was so. Yeah, I couldn't even have a discussion. And I've had discussions, conversations where people are like, they show a bit of interest, if nothing more than to take the piss out of me. But
Yeah, okay.
it was, I've had the wool pulled over. Everyone's had the wool pulled over their eyes, including me. And it's all bullshit. But I'm right. I know I'm right.
Wow.
Oh, and I was just, it blew me away because I thought, ugh, I don't know
Did
where to
they,
go with any of
yeah, did they then start going on about vaccines and 5G?
it. Yeah, not 5G. We went on to vaccines. We went on to there were little bits of things like certain TV broadcast companies being, sending messages out to,
Oh, like subliminal
the
messages.
Yeah, and things, and I just thought we might as well get onto flat earthing soon. Might as well go down that one as well if you want. But yeah, and I thought it was one of them where I thought this person was okay, and
No, you don't.
now I just think they're a bit of a wally.
Yeah, that's, oh, it's hard though, because they're so convinced, aren't they? They're,
Yeah.
I mean, I guess like people might think we are, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
And like my wife, as we've discussed, Michelle said to me afterwards, you can go, yeah, but I've read this, and it says this, and yeah, but I've read this, and yeah, but I've read this, and I've heard this. And at the end of the day, animals are killed, and they don't need to be. Urgh.
That's it.
That's the long and the short of it. And I'd rather not get enough nutrients and have to supplement them if that's the case,
Yes.
and animals n not be killed anymore, than continue to fund that.
That is the perfect answer, because what can they say about that? No, I want to kill animals. Why?
Yeah.
And the only reason you might get the nutrients from eating animals is because they've been given the supplements. So really, all we're doing is cutting out the middle person and having the supplements ourselves.
Yeah.
The stuff you get from animals either comes from the plants they eat or the supplements they're given. Well, we're just eating plants and supplements, so poke it.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with that. So yeah, that's good. How are you? Are you well?
Man, yeah, better than yeah, I haven't had anywhere near that much excitement, except I was working late shift on Saturday. As regular listeners know, I work in London. I had to go to Southampton at the last minute and work there, and I didn't
Nice.
leave Southampton until 2 a.m. on Sunday night in
right,
an electric
okay.
car.
Oh, nice.
Well, except I had to stop twice to charge it up on the way home, which when you finish at 2 a.m. and you should have finished at 11 p.m. and then you have to stop twice to charge it up is,
oh dear.
It's not that nice. It was really
no,
disappointing.
I can imagine.
But on the flip side, I did stop at one services and had a very delicious Bosch chicken barbecue panini, chicken with an apostrophe instead of an E, obviously. Vegan panini from the Costa, which was absolutely delicious.
There you
Absolutely
go.
delicious. So highly recommended. So yeah, apart from that, all good. Good. So our guest will be coming up very shortly.
Oh.
But Wes,
you teased us with that. You teased us with some things last episode. Yes. So which one of those people could this be? Who knows?
Well, who knows? I mean, listeners, you know, because you'll have seen it in the show notes already, and and the description. So it's only Wes who doesn't know. Although he's probably got a good idea because we discussed it earlier.
You told me earlier.
So actually, there's no suspense at all.
Right.
Anyway, if you want to get in touch, come and find us on Instagram or send us an email.
And if you want to email us, just email howiveganpodcast@gmail.com.
Ah, look at your lovely cat.
Butthole.
Look at your lovely cat's butthole. What's the cat's name?
Nixa.
Nixa. That's nice.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't name her. She's she was adopted.
Ah, so, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you have to go with whatever the previous owner went with.
Yeah, or I was like fostering her for a year and I wasn't thinking of keeping her. But then I decided to adopt her myself. So it was a bit kind of weird to change the name 1 year
yeah,
later.
After a year, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me just do a little intro and then we'll crack on if that's all right.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Our guest today is a street activist from Sweden. She protested alongside Tash Peterson last summer in Copenhagen. She can often be found in Stockholm doing street activism, marching against the fur trade, and last year was painted like a cow to protest against the dairy trade. Our guest today is Malin. Welcome.
Yay, thank you.
So I'm going to ask the question before Wes asks it. How did you end up protesting with Tash Peterson?
Ooh, so I was at this animal rights conference in Copenhagen. And it was the first time I met the activists there, and I was like super impressed with how organized they are. And they had so many sessions with very inspiring people. And Tash was there, and she had a speech. And after the march, animal rights march, that was during one of the days, we were all just hanging out at the conference area, and me and the other Swedish activists were like, oh, hey, should we go out and shout at the people sitting eating meat at the restaurants out here? And everyone was like, hell yeah. So there was like 100 of us.
Wow.
Or it felt like 100 of us, but there was like so many activists, and Tash was there and Jack was there. So they kind of took lead. And we just went around to multiple restaurants and shouted at the people who were dining on dead animal bodies.
Fantastic. Brilliant. What sort of reaction did you get?
Ooh, there was this one guy who started shouting at us. You know, people get really defensive when you call them animal abusers for some reason. So he was shouting, and then in the end, he hugged one of the activists who tried to talk to him. So I guess they had a lovely conversation.
Okay.
But most of them were pretty scared of confrontation, I think. So they kind of looked ashamed.
Yeah, especially when there's 100 of you. That's good. Maybe if it was just one or two. So I saw on your Instagram, I promise I haven't been stalking you or anything, but I saw on your Instagram, you were at a vegan camp out last year.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, as were we.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Are you going next year?
No, probably not.
And I might do a day ticket. Maybe.
Oh my God. It's the best festival in the world. You should be there.
It is. It is. We've been twice. I think we're going to take a year off, and then maybe next year we'll go back and do it properly again.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it's only about an hour down the road from me, so I think we might do a day ticket. And,
okay.
But I'm not sure which day yet. We'll see.
On the Earthling Ed Day,
we'll
I
see.
suppose.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. And I saw you'd shared a link to Pignorant earlier on. Have you had that in, you've got access to that in Sweden? Because I heard it was only available in the US and the UK.
Yeah, so unfortunately we don't have access yet. But I really do want to watch it. And we were lucky enough to have Dan, the activist who took a job in the slaughterhouse. He had a Zoom session with us this last Saturday.
Wow.
And we got to ask him lots of questions about how it was to work there and how he got the job, and super inspiring. So now I'm even more excited to see the actual movie.
Yeah, because he's got such a key role going in and, yeah, like you say, working there for 3 weeks and you know, learning the layout and all of that kind of thing, and working out which door it's easiest to get into in the middle of the night and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing,
so
bit of
amazing.
Undercover work.
Exactly. Very inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I saw Joey posted the trailer, and obviously he wanted everyone to share as much as possible. So, of course, I'm going to do everything I can to help to spread information about this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were saying on the last episode, I think, that it's difficult because like Jake Yap said in his episode, we should have a free pass to not have to watch this stuff, but we're the ones that always do.
Yeah.
It's good. And I'm like, I know this is going to be really like horrifying. Do I really want to go into it and watch it? But, you know,
yeah,
we'll see.
I feel the same thing, because as a vegan, obviously seeing animal cruelty really affects your mental health. But at the same time, I watched Dominion just like a few months ago for the first time. And I did it because I wanted to be able to meet people where they were, like when they asked questions about the movie. So I wanted to make sure that I had seen it so I could explain certain parts and talk about it with them if they needed to.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe I should watch it. I've always held off watching Dominion because I've just heard so many things about how gruesome it is, and it's really put me off. It really has. But yeah, maybe I'll just have to bite the bullet and go for it. It's not as bad
next,
as being
but next,
in the
next time
house.
We're together, Matthew, we'll watch it together.
Oh yeah, we'll have a movie night
behind cushions.
You'll sit next to each other crying the whole night.
Oh dear. Yeah. Okay. Well, you've really made me want to watch it now. So tell us then, Malin, what's your vegan story?
Yeah, so I wasn't born vegan, as most of us. And I was raised in a family where people ate meat and dairy and eggs and all that. And I never really thought about what happened to the animals. And I didn't really connect what was on my plate to, you know, a living being. Mm-hmm. But then when I was around 20 years old-ish, I started seeing videos, maybe online, maybe on TV, I can't remember, but I remember seeing pigs in factory farms and male chicks in the egg industry getting shredded alive. And I was so horrified, especially by the footage from the egg industry. And I couldn't stop like comparing it to human babies and thinking that people would never accept that happening to humans. And I couldn't really see any like difference between these small chicken babies and humans, because we're all animals, right? And we all want to live and value our own life. I remember I had a huge argument about this with my boyfriend at the time. And he basically said that I was a psychopath or something for comparing humans to animals.
Wow.
Yeah, so he didn't take that very well, but I kept thinking about it, and I decided that I was going to try to be vegan, but I didn't really know what a vegan was, so I still ate like butter made from dairy, and I went out to restaurants, and I didn't order the vegan food, like I had no clue.
Yeah.
But At the time, I wasn't very healthy. I didn't eat properly, so I wasn't feeling very well. And then I went to the doctors and they said, oh, you are a bit low on B12. You should probably eat some meat. And I'm going to tell you something very embarrassing now, but I think it's important that people are honest. And I used this experience, like me not even being vegan, I used that as an excuse in front of other people to why I couldn't be vegan. So I'm like one of these people online saying, oh, being vegan made me sick, kind of.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that was me. And it's one of my biggest regrets, obviously, except for eating animals at all. Vegans.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah. So very, very embarrassing, but I feel like it's important to put that out there so that people can understand that the people who are saying that online probably haven't even tried to be vegan in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it is when you, it's only when you know better that you can do better, isn't it? So if that's the information that you had at the time, then you would think that's what it was, wouldn't you? That's perfectly natural.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then, like, I still had this whole thing in mind and I tried to avoid watching footage of animal cruelty. But it just kept popping up, you know, on documentaries, on TV and in social media. And eventually I was like, okay, I'm just going to try to be as plant-based as possible. And one day I just decided, okay, I'm going to be vegan now. So I started calling myself a wannabe vegan. And I educated myself properly, and now I've been vegan for 3 years. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah, that's good. And I take it you're not low in B12 anymore or anything like that.
No. I did a blood test, like a full blood test with 47 markers just 2 months ago, just because I was interested. And all my values came back perfect. So,
brilliant. Yeah. Excellent. Fantastic. There you go.
Apart from clearly obviously being protein deficient as well, because we're all protein deficient, obviously.
Yeah, we actually died 5 years ago, all of us. Deficiency.
Exactly. So what did you find, what was the, like that, since, so in though, well, at any point, what's been the hardest thing about it, about being vegan for you?
I think the hardest thing have been knowing what happens to animals and also trying to tell other people about it. Like telling my friends and family, and being like, when I talk to them, it's like either they're not listening or they completely lack empathy. Like they aren't capable of feeling empathy for other beings. And sorry, mom and dad, if you see this, but it's very, very hard to see your friends and family paying for cruelty when you ask them not to, and you try to inform them of what's going on and they just don't listen or ignore you.
Yes.
So that's the hardest part.
You're right. That is because in other areas, they are generally nice people who would be upset if a person died. Or, but the one that gets me is like when they see that a pet has died.
Yeah,
and it's all so upset. Oh my God, this is awful. But at the same time, eating a pig or a cow, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's a
how is that different?
But at the same time, I need to remember that I wasn't born vegan either. So I have been where they are. And I try to see the potential in people instead of.
Yes, that's it. They're all pre-vegans at the end of the day, aren't they?
I hope so.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as an example of this, yesterday near where I live, a fox hunt were out and three of their dogs got onto the main road and were hit by a car.
Really?
And sadly died. And people are commenting on the local newspaper Facebook page, oh, this is so sad that the dogs have died. Well, firstly, I mean, obviously, yes, it's sad that the dogs have died. Secondly, they shouldn't have been there because fox hunts should be closed down. And thirdly, these people are the same people who will be saying how sad it is that these dogs have died, again, while they're eating a pig or a cow. And they just don't get the connection, do they?
No,
so
they
frustrating.
Don't.
So frustrating.
I I tried to explain it to my mom once, and I said, okay, you say eating meat is a personal choice, but if I want to go and kick all the dogs that I see in the head, that's a personal choice for me, right? But I choose not to do that because that hurts the dog. But when I told her that example, she was like, oh no, but you can't kick dogs in the head. That's awful. It's not the same thing. And I was like, no, it's not the same thing, but what you're doing is way worse.
Yeah. At least the dog's still alive.
Yeah, exactly. Can they not see the difference?
No. Oh my God, that's horrendous. Okay. Well, that kind of leads us on to the next question, really. What did your friends and family think about it when you went vegan?
My little brother was vegan before me.
Oh, wow.
So basically because I explained the whole vegan philosophy and logic to him before I was even vegan myself, and he got it like right away and became vegan, which is pretty awesome. So they were familiar with having a vegan in the family, so I guess it wasn't like a huge deal, but we do fight a lot about it, unfortunately, like especially at Christmas when I don't want to celebrate having a table of dead animals in front of me. I prefer a vegan Christmas, and I'm happy to buy all the food and cook all the food and provide them with a nice meal. But my dad especially has a problem accepting this, unfortunately.
Wow. Okay. So he wouldn't contemplate a vegan Christmas then. He wouldn't do it.
Well, first he said that he wouldn't. And then I said, okay, then I'll go home. And I live like 5 hours by train away from them. So eventually he decided, okay, I'm going to be here and I'll have a Christmas dinner with you, but I'm only going to eat a little bit. But he even admitted that the food was good. So maybe next year it'll be better.
Okay. Yeah. He's on the way. That's a good start.
I hope so.
Yeah.
What about your friends?
Yeah, I think some of them have taken it well because some of them were vegan friendly, like from before. And one of them is actually vegan, one of my good friends, but she never really talked about the situation of the animals. And we talked about it once and she said, yeah, I used to think that you were such a hypocrite because you cared so much about the animals. But then you would go to a restaurant and order like yakiniku, which is a cow flesh dish. And I was like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, that's
call me out for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what we need, isn't it? We need vegans to be spreading the word, not keeping quiet and thinking, oh, bunch of hypocrites. It would be good to get it is always good to get the word out. Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah, but then again, like I'm from a small town and some of the friends that I used to have, I feel like they get offended by the things I post and offended by my opinions.
Yes.
So they don't support me, like they don't like any of my posts and they don't comment. But when I see them, they're always like, oh yeah, I see what you're posting and of course it's horrible and I'm learning a lot from watching what you're posting. So I feel like maybe I'm getting through to them at some level.
Yeah. Even if it takes a little challenge. While.
I find that a real challenge because I share, Matthew knows, I share quite a lot of stuff. Every couple of days I'll share something just that I see it and I'm like, yeah, chuck that out there just to annoy somebody. And Matthew's the only one that likes it. And I'm like, you can't tell me that people aren't seeing it. But they refuse to like it. However, I'm sharing this information to try and educate people. But I'm doing it for the animals, and you're just doing it to get a rise out of me. It's so annoying, so frustrating.
It's not even about you or them at all, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, so hard.
And that's a disconnect people definitely don't get. And there's a lot of so-called vegan influencers on Instagram, especially, where you would be forgiven for thinking it is all about them because it's just constantly pictures of them posing in various places and nothing about animals or, you know, veganism in general. And it's all about, this is me and stuff like that. It's really frustrating because you can see the number of followers they have and the people who, you know, like and comment on their post. You think, oh, all you'd need is a couple of decent videos and people would be hopefully people would be seeing it and educated. Yeah, it's
exactly. And I feel like if you have a huge platform, you have a responsibility.
That's it.
Yes. If you've got a big following, like you say, if you've got a big following, use it, utilize it. Don't make it about you. Make it about making people or helping people understand.
Mm.
Sure. Have you noticed that you've been vegan 3 years. Have you noticed any physical or mental changes that you for yourself personally?
Yeah, I actually feel a lot healthier, lighter and well nourished.
That's good.
Definitely not malnourished. Because I used to be that. I've told you the story. When I was younger, I didn't know how to feed myself properly. But now I eat really nutritious whole food plant based diet, and I feel great. Also, I started going to the gym, and I feel stronger. And I know that's not just because I'm vegan; it's obviously because of lifting weights. But
yeah,
that's a positive. Yeah. But I also remember that when I was younger, I used to have very bad like tummy aches, like acid reflux, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much gone now. I very, very rarely have it nowadays.
That's good.
Yeah, excellent. Before it used to be like every single day almost. So I was suffering quite a lot back then.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very positive change.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So this is our key bingo question. Where do you get your protein and other nutrients?
People are so obsessed with protein nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw on my Instagram, but I made a few posts about protein. So basically the first one was telling people where I get my protein from. And there's protein in literally everything that you eat in various amounts, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to eat protein-rich foods as a vegan, you should go for tofu, tempeh, and seitan, which is what I eat most days. But you can also eat like oats or peanut butter or rice or broccoli or whatever, lentils, beans. But then people were saying, but plants only contain one essential amino acid each, so you have to eat so much to get what you need.
Because everyone's an expert when you tell them.
Yeah, suddenly everyone's a nutritionist, aren't they?
Yeah, and it pisses me off so much that there's so much disinformation around there. So I had to make another video and I was like, okay, no. So all amino acids is in every single plant, but in various amounts, right? Yeah, but you can eat tofu tempeh or seitan to get like a complete vegan protein. But most people don't only eat one single food all day, every day of their life.
Exactly, yeah.
So this is not really an issue at all, really. Then they started saying, I can't remember, something that, but you need to eat so much again. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to show you. I'm on a diet at the moment because I started working out with the Jacked Vegans Academy. So they put me on 1,461 calories a day, which is not a lot.
Very precise. 1,461.
Yeah, very precise. And on that, I get 120 to 140 grams of protein per day.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot. It's a lot. It's three times more than I actually need for my body weight.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I showed them the amino acids, making sure they could see that this is not a problem on a plant-based diet. But then they came back saying, there's no clean vegan proteins. And I was like, okay, tofu tempeh and seitan is super clean. You can make it from scratch at home. Like, what else you want?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It's they just constantly move the goalposts. You know, they'll put up an argument. And you say, "Oh, well, like this." Yeah, but what about? Oh, but what about? And then it becomes so I don't know, such a tiny little thing that's so impossible to prove or disprove. And then they're like, "Ah, gotcha." You're
like, yeah. But what about when you're on a desert island?
Yeah.
Yeah, like when is that going to happen? It hasn't happened yet.
it's frustrating.
It's frustrating and annoying, and we have to live with, you know, that stupid question every single day of our lives.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. It is annoying. It's one of the hardest parts, I think, for me, is that stupid people, basically.
Yeah, and it seems like they're not even interested in hearing the information.
No,
definitely
no,
not.
No, that's the thing, isn't it? They're not willing. I've had conversations with some people where they want to get in a conversation and they're willing to take stuff on board, but they just end up going, yeah, I get all that, I just don't care. And I'm like, oh God, but you do. I know you do.
Yeah, otherwise that you wouldn't be talking about it, right?
No, there's just always something. There's always some barrier or whatever it is that is so innate and ridiculous. You just think, come on, seriously, you're a grown adult now. Come on.
But don't you think that the people who want to talk about it and look for excuses are the ones that will eventually go vegan?
I hope.
Maybe. That could be it. Yeah, it could be that they're interested in it and they're just trying to be a bit argumentative, perhaps. Maybe they're trying to talk themselves out of it.
Yeah, they're trying to justify eating animals. But eventually, I think they will come to a realization.
That could be it.
Yeah.
Start calling them pre-vegans and see how they like that.
To their face.
To their face, yeah.
I currently call them clowns, but
clowns.
Not calling you by your first name anymore. I'm just going to call you pre-vegan.
Pre-vegan one, pre-vegan two. Yeah.
Pre-vegan is good because that's less offensive, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Who came up with that 100%. One? Was that from Elwoods? I think came up with pre-vegans.
Oh, was it? Was it?
I think it was Molly Elwood. Yeah, who said about pre-vegans? Yeah. It's good because it's something to aspire to then, isn't it?
Exactly.
one day you'll be like us.
Yes. Don't know it yet.
You just don't know it. Exactly.
They have a problem with eating dogs, obviously. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Why would they have a problem with eating dogs? It's perfectly natural. And
exactly.
It's sustainable and all the other good stuff. Organic.
Yeah. Organic. Free range.
Homegrown.
They have one bad day.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. So what's the best thing about being vegan?
The best thing is that I'm not a fucking hypocrite anymore.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
I feel like the vegans are like the Avengers trying to save the world, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did do some ironing earlier, so does that make me Iron Man?
Yes.
100%. Okay, I'm having that.
that's as far as you're going, Matthew. Trust me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, I like that. Trying to save the world. Yeah.
Yeah, one step at a time. I mean, all vegans are not activists, but they're still a part of a very important movement.
Absolutely, yeah. Because Wes and I don't do street activism like you do. We just do this silly podcast, but even someone who does absolutely nothing is still buying vegan food. So that is something, because they're not buying dead animals. So that's money that they're not getting, and they are buying stuff that's produced for vegans. So that's something. So it is, it still counts. They're still doing something towards furthering veganism. So it's all good.
Absolutely. And also, I don't think your podcast is, I don't know what you said.
Silly. You obviously haven't listened to it.
I haven't.
It's very silly.
I think it's a great form of activism, though, because it normalizes veganism.
Oh, that's people, true. Yes.
Yeah, people listen to it and realize that we're just normal people.
That's true. Yeah. I used to work with someone who said after... I think we'd worked together for about two and a half years. He said, because do you know what? You're very normal for a vegan. I was like, I'll have that. Because there's worse things I've been called.
Yeah, I am perfectly average.
Yeah. But what he meant was, I'm not, you know, some weirdo. Little did he know. But, you know, I'm not some weirdo. I'm not. trying to ram it down his throat all the time, just living my life, going to work, but I don't eat dead things.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people need to realize about us, that we are just people who made
people
a realization.
Too. Yes,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And like you say,
we're trying to make a difference, and it's them, it's those others that are, it's pre-vegans that keep arguing with us. That's what I find. It's them that are coming to, particularly like I said earlier, that are sending me messages to get a rise out of me. And I never send them a message and go, you need to do this. And then they send it back to me. They just send me shit to take the piss out of me. I'm like, I haven't started this. I might share stuff on social media, but that's not targeting you in particular. It's targeting everyone who's not on board with this.
Yeah, exactly. And it's for educational purposes, but they take it seriously because they have a guilty conscience deep down.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it.
Basically, we're all teachers.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, but I
feel like we have important work to do.
We do, yeah.
Oh, we really do. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's the future of the planet, for one thing, but also it's the billions of animals who don't have the opportunity to speak up. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if we can't close down animal agriculture, even like humans and society as we know it is threatened because of the climate crisis. So it's super important.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what is your favorite vegan product at the moment?
This is such a hard question because there's so many good ones.
Awesome. We'll take a list. That's okay.
Okay. So I recently tried Alpro almond milk.
Okay.
For the first time. And now I'm in love with that one.
Wow.
Like obsessed.
Wow.
Yeah. And
is this on its own or as an ingredient?
No, on its own. It's just got the nuttiest and smoothest and most delicious flavor.
Wow.
And I used to drink almond milk before, but mostly in like coffee. But now I'm obsessed with almond milk instead. So I don't understand why it took me so long to discover this delicious drink. But then we also have all the new exciting products like Juicy Marbles and Redefined Meat. I've tried both of them, and it's not something that I eat very often, but they are delicious, and I really see how they can revolutionize the vegan market and also inspire a lot of people to be vegan, because they will realize that you can literally eat anything that you ate before going vegan, and it tastes just as delicious or even more delicious.
Yeah,
that's a good shout.
Have you
tried? And you can eat it with a clear conscience.
Yeah.
I've not tried the Juicy Marbles. A couple of people have said that's one of their favourites, but I've just not got around to it yet.
I've not even seen it in the shops. No,
I saw it in Tesco once at the start of Veganuary, but that's it. But I haven't looked, to be honest. So maybe next time, we'll treat ourselves.
It's worth trying, I think, and also it's perfect when you're gonna cook for your non-vegan family.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good point.
Do you have any products that you wanna share?
Oh wow!
I still go on about the Co-op Grow Burger.
Okay.
Co-op's like a supermarket chain in the UK, and it's the Grow range, they call it, and it's a beef burger and a chicken burger, and they're the best burgers I've ever had.
Wow,
they're incredible.
Okay, so we've got a product called Future Tuna, and it's like tuna. Like you get in the little tin, not like a steak or anything. You know, I don't know if you have that in Sweden, but we have like a little round tin, probably like that deep, and it's just like mashed up tuna in it, which sounds pretty grotesque. But this is a vegan version. And it tastes just the same, and it's in little like flakes, and it's really, really tasty. Really good.
Well, it's so interesting to hear about all these new products that pop up.
It's very exciting. The variety out there. And like you said, for people who want to go vegan but still experience the things that they love eating, it's great because you I don't believe anybody would notice that it was different. It's really good.
There's nothing better than a hunk of prime Labrador steak, wonderfully marbled. And that is almost entirely dependent on how it's produced. Elwood's Organic Dog Meat has complete control of this entire journey. So I'm here at Elwood's Farm to find out a little more about it.
Welcome to Elwood Farms.
Thank you very much, Elwood.
I hear you do a bit of barbecuing.
I do a little bit of barbecuing every now and then, yes.
From a chef's point of view, consistency is key for everything.
It doesn't matter if it's a Rottweiler ribeye, a Pyrenees mince, or a lab sirloin.
You can always tell when the dog comes from a place where it was well reared. And every step has to be right, doesn't it? Oh, you should see these guys. So, from an Elwood's point of view, there's complete traceability.
Absolutely. Unrivaled traceability, so it's fine.
Every single piece of dog meat?
Yeah, from pub to farmer's market.
Everything the dog's been fed?
Everything about it.
For each dog?
Yeah. Only Marks and Spencer's and Whole Foods do this.
Where else can people order from?
From elwooddogmeat.com. That's ELWOOD dogmeat.com.
For top quality meat from dogs for people. Meat that's local, sustainable, and humanely harvested. There's only Elwood's Organic Dog Meat.
They seem pretty friendly, don't they? They're more responsive to me than my kids, to be honest.
This episode is supported by V-Gums.
V-Gums is a plant-based, eco-friendly gummy supplement brand which is perfect for the whole family.
V-Gums are vegan, gluten-free and made with natural flavours.
And we have a unique discount code for How I Vegan podcast listeners. You can get 20% off any one-time purchase or your first subscription order.
Just enter the code HOW20 at the checkout to claim your discount.
Head to vegums.com for more details.
That's vegums.com.
She's just on her way back in.
Well, she says that. There's always a first time.
Oh, God.
I ain't doing this. I ain't going back into that shit.
Pair of amateurs. And I hope she does, because I really want to find out her favourite vegan restaurant. Hopefully it's the same as mine.
yeah, because you've been to fucking vegan. You can keep that in your edit.
Oh, don't worry, I will. And even if I don't, you'll never know.
No.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
We were just discussing how we always worry that the guest isn't going to come back for the second part.
Uh-oh.
Because they've hated it so much. They just think, nah, I'm not going back.
That's never happened so far, right?
Not yet.
There's always a first time. So we do have a little panic from time to time.
Yeah, but we're very grateful that you've come back.
Of course. I'm happy to be here, so...
Excellent. That's good. I meant to ask at the start and I didn't. How did you get involved with, is it Active Vegans Sweden or Active Vegans Stockholm? I've got mixed up, but.
The group name or the Facebook group name is called Active Vegans Sweden, but it's not an official group. Although I got in contact with them because the person who was admin for the account saw me being a Facebook warrior in some comment section.
Brilliant.
And he replied to my comment saying, hey, if you're interested, I can invite you to our group chat with Activism in Stockholm. So that was a success, let's say that.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was super happy to be invited because... Obviously, I didn't have many vegan friends when I first turned vegan. And now I have a lot of vegan friends. So, yay.
Excellent. Mission accomplished. That's good. Yes, it does help having... Yeah, it does help having vegan friends, doesn't it? It does make a big difference.
Yeah, it really does. And also, we do so many cool things together. So I'm super grateful to have found this group, and it feels nice to do something.
Yes.
What sort of stuff do you do?
We do lots of different stuff in the names of different groups. So the fur protests we do regularly, and that's
Yeah.
the name of Direct Action Everywhere. So we protest outside of Louis Vuitton and Max Mara. And
Cool.
then we also have Anonymous for the Voiceless and the
Yeah.
Cube of Truth. So we show slaughterhouse videos to people in the city.
Yeah.
And then there's another group with a Swedish name called Stoppa Slakten, and I think it's Animal Save. It's a part of
Okay.
Extinction Rebellion. So they also show slaughterhouse footage to people and do outreach. And then we've made a few like independent activist events. The cow event
Yeah.
is one of them.
Yeah.
And that is probably one of the most successful ones that we've done because
Wow.
we've received so much feedback. And even like my friends who never comment on my vegan stuff has said, "Oh, I think this thing you did with the big milk cartons with information, and that was very clever because you inform people, they can come to you and you grab their attention in a very smart way."
Yeah.
And that's what the whole topless thing is for me as well. Because you know, when I was painted as a cow, I was topless, and that's only to grab attention from people, because when they
Okay.
see something that's not right, then they will automatically come and be interested in what you have to say.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that, and as a middle-aged man, it's not something I'm particularly comfortable asking, but
That's fine.
did it not feel weird walking around the center of Stockholm with no top
A little bit.
on?
No, but we have done it quite a few times now, and I had done it before the cow event a few times. But the first time I was in a big group of people, there was maybe 20 of us who were topless, both female and male. And we did it as an event called the Vegan Warriors, which was more like an art installation where we were topless and covered in blood, like fake blood, and we wore animal masks. And then we had some cool music on speakers and just walked through all of central Stockholm.
Nice.
Yeah, and we had signs that said, "Meet your victims, watchdominion.com, ignorance is a choice." And that was very, very cool, I think. And I had lots of adrenaline when we were
I
walking there.
bet. Yeah.
But then after that first time, it wasn't such a big deal anymore.
Okay, yeah.
So then I did fur protests and a few more smaller vegan warrior events where we were like covered in blood and topless in the city. So the whole cow thing was not a huge deal for me, to be honest.
Okay. Good.
Good work.
Yeah, incredible representation for the animals. And like you say, if you've got non-vegans commenting on how effective it is and how interesting it is, then you're absolutely on the right lines, aren't you? You've got to be doing something right. That's fantastic.
Yeah, just trying to grab attention, you know, and to educate people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on the subject of education, what advice would you give to someone who comes to you wanting to go vegan? What would you suggest to them?
My first advice would be to follow certain accounts on social media so with that you are reminded to why you want to be vegan every single day. Because when you think about the victims, it becomes super easy.
Yes.
And it wasn't until I started following certain accounts and being confronted with reality every single day that I took the final step to be vegan. And also information about how to be vegan. There's so much of it online, and you can find so many amazing recipes. So that would be like my main advice. But I've actually come to the point now where people do message me on Instagram and say, "Hey, I really want to go vegan. What's your
Brilliant.
advice?" And I always say that I'm going to help them out and I will support them and give them all the information and knowledge that I have. So hopefully I've been able to help some people.
Fantastic.
That's really good.
That's really good. No
Yeah.
one's asked us yet, have they, Wes?
No.
I think there's a good reason for that.
Yeah.
You need to just open up So they feel like they can approach you and
okay.
What do I do about being vegan? Well, we've got a podcast. Go and listen.
Yeah,
to that.
Listen to our podcast. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, who is your vegan inspiration?
I have quite a few, but excellent. I really enjoy watching the videos of Lifting Vegan Logic and Joey Carbstrong, of course, huge inspiration. Mm-hmm. And Earthling Ed as well. I watch his outreach videos, trying to learn things and how to communicate with people, because I'm pretty new to outreach, so I don't feel confident doing it, even if I do it. But it's always good to learn techniques from others. And also Tash Peterson, of course. She, her and her disruptive activism, and it's very attention grabbing, and she gets like a lot of attention online also because of that. And online, like activism online is such a powerful tool, because you don't only reach the people that are in front of you on the street, but you can reach thousands. Just by
That's very true.
Yeah. So
that's it.
They are my biggest inspirations at the moment.
Well, I think you're right about that, watching those inspiring people so that you can, because I did it, I know I did it, educating yourself on how to confront people that come to discuss things with you, discuss in inverted commas, you know, how to, when they come challenging you, how to challenge back. You know, we've said on many episodes before about how it's really difficult at first knowing what the arguments are. People come and say, well, you can't be vegan because of this. And you're like, I don't know. I'm just doing it because of the animals. I don't know why. But when you get more educated, and I mean, that's what I was thinking when you first started. That was, I remember when I first went vegan, I'd watched Cowspiracy and I was like, I'm genuinely, and I regret this, I was doing it for the environment, because that's what Cowspiracy is kind of about. And I always said it was, for me at that first time, it was environment, then my health, and then the animals, that, because I was coming from that carnist point of view. Whereas now I've done all that education and I've watched all the videos and I'm like, this is just mad. Just the animals, just top of the game all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's because you didn't know before, right?
No, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's when it. You come to the realization and see the videos, and Dominion especially, I know you said you haven't seen it yet, and I don't know, like, it really did affect my mental health watching it. But when you see what's going on in the animal world, you just, it's all about them after that.
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
100%.
But also the environment is super important, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hopefully, you know, with the animal liberation will come an improvement in the environment, because we won't be farming all the animals. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. I think that's the salvation, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is my question, but Matthew's very keen for the answer.
Okay.
So what's your favorite vegan restaurant or venue at the minute?
There's a restaurant in Stockholm called the Vegan Beer Bar.
Oh,
okay.
What a combo.
I know, right? So they serve really nice vegan craft beer. And they have a huge menu with pizzas and tapas and sandwiches. And it's just freaking delicious, all the food and the environment. And you can sit outside in the summer if you like. So it's perfect.
Amazing.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have quite a few nice vegan restaurants in Stockholm. So I'm very lucky to be living here.
Yes. Now, Wes mentioned that I'm very keen, because I've been to Stockholm a couple of times, three times, and twice I've eaten at Herman's.
Yeah, that one is really good too.
It's my favorite restaurant in the world. I just love it in there so much. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah, and the food and the view is awesome, right?
That's it. Yeah, looking out, you look out over the city, and it's just amazing. So sorry, Wes, because Wes gets upset because I've been to Sweden and he hasn't.
Time for you to go.
Yes, exactly.
I'll get there at some point when it's like cheaper to get them. I'll get, I don't know. Don't you make me all cry and upset.
Well, also, you could say you're not going because you don't want to fly. So when there's a decent train service.
Yeah, or I can swim 100 miles or however far it is.
Yeah.
I know someone who went to a vegan camp out last summer by train from Sweden, and I think it took like a week or so. So I guess you have to prepare to do a few stops.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. But
then you go.
I know Swedish Martin came by car and public transport, didn't he?
Swedish Martin, Marlin, is our friend who's he lives in Uppsala. Who,
really?
Who
He's
we
my
spoke
to.
Oh, really? It does Dystopia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I was hanging out with him a few days ago.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay,
that's
good.
Great.
Yes, we spoke to Martin loads of times, and we often link to his songs when they come out. Yeah, so that's all good. Yeah, he went last year. Did he go by car, and it was him who went by train.
Oh, maybe it was by car. I just assumed it was by train. Sure.
But it took him a long time, didn't it?
Yeah,
I know he ended up in a car with someone else who was sort of giving him a lift. I don't know if it was a link from linking from station to station, but I'm pretty sure he didn't fly. I'm almost
yeah, no,
almost
he definitely certain didn't fly.
It was train and car all the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort. Yes. Fair play if he can work it out, but yeah.
But I mean, he shows that it's possible, so that's also important in the form of activism.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think you get
to see some nice countryside as well. Yeah. You know, it's nice seeing stuff in the air, but you know, on trains and that, you get some lovely views.
You're right there, aren't you? Yeah. I was going to say that. Like, we went to Hamburg last summer, and you could get a train from Hamburg to Stockholm. Like
they do have the
sleeper train
now, so that's so great.
Because
you may as well sleep on the train, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so we mentioned Martin's music name, Vistopia, just then. And this last question is, Wes is laughing because that's such a segue. But this last...
That is one of the greatest links you've ever done.
I'm having that. So, obviously, the term Vistopia comes from, you know, the anguish that vegans feel living in a non-vegan world. And this question kind of came out of that during one of our episodes. And really, sometimes it's quite easy to get a bit down in the dumps about the future that we have. So do you have hope for the future?
Yeah, I think I do, actually, because now when we have social media, it's so easy for people to share information and to spread the truth. And of course, there's lots of misinformation out there as well. But the pictures of pigs in gas chambers or other animals suffering in animal agriculture, they don't lie. So I feel like when people become aware of this, they will eventually choose the more compassionate choice.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, it's all about the education, isn't it? You know,
it is.
Once people know better, they'll hopefully do better, and then we'll be on our way. And a couple of our guests, I can't remember who it was, but a couple of our guests have said, actually, you don't need that many people to make it so that, you know, vegan is seen as the way forwards. You just need a certain percentage of the population, and then all of a sudden everyone's doing it because everybody else is. You know, like it's a bit like watching a TV program, I guess, that, you know, sometimes when you hear that other people are watching this program, you think, well, I better watch that as well. And hopefully veganism will be like that. And, you know, once people know vegans, you know, or related to vegans, and they'll start thinking, oh, so-and-so was saying that this was really nice. And now here it is in the supermarket in front of me. I might as well give it a try. And gradually, hopefully, people will come around.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's also why it's so important for us to be visible and to, we don't want to shove veganism down people's throats, obviously, but we talk about it because we have to, and we need to normalize veganism to other people.
That's it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we've got to stay positive, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that's one part of the reason we decided to ask that is because it makes us feel a little bit better when someone says, yeah, you have to be positive. You have to have hope. And then for that one evening we can switch like, off from this and go, actually I feel all right tonight.
Of course. I guess you guys suffer from dystopia as well. And of course I do too.
Yeah. Yeah, particularly like, you know, going back to what I said earlier about people, you know, people that I know are empathic beings. They are caring people. I get into those conversations and it brings me right down sometimes. I'm just like, Jesus, is this ever going to change?
Yeah.
But then we ask you to say, do you have hope? And you go, yeah, of course I do. Yeah, it's going to be great. And I'm like, yay.
Yeah, there's more vegans now than there ever was ever before. So.
Yeah.
That's a great Absolutely. Way of looking at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just getting more and more every year.
Exactly. And yeah. I mean, how long ago was it when there was like one vegan or five?
Yeah.
Not many years ago.
No, that's true. Yeah. It's, yeah, last
20 years ago, we only knew one vegan, didn't we, Matthew?
Yeah, that was it. One vegan, never even heard of it anyone else, anywhere else.
No.
Never met another one until we went vegan, what, 6 years ago, is it now? Something like that.
Yeah. 6 years ago in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, wow. We will mark that in the next episode. Where's this veganiversary?
Yeah.
It's important to celebrate.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Good. All right. Well, Marlin, it's been fantastic having you as a guest. We've really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for telling us all about your activism and how you live as a vegan in Sweden. It's great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, and we'll look forward to seeing more of your activism in the coming weeks. I'm guessing no more topless protests until the sun comes out, because it must be a bit cold.
Probably not, no. We'll see, though. Yeah.
So how do people find you on socials?
On Instagram, my name is vegang_Marlin. So they can find me there and see all my topless pictures.
It's not that sort of Instagram.
No, it's not. It's all about education. Yeah.
Oh my god. No, it's all education and activism is what it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was good. Yeah.
Good episode. Good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go.
Is that 53 episodes now?
This is episode 54.
Wow.
Can you believe it? And I was doing a bit of sort of admin-y stuff earlier on, and I was like, maybe I should start thinking about a guest for our 100th episode. I thought, we're only on 54. What are you talking about? It's taken us 2 years to get to episode 54. I've got a little bit of time to work
out
who our 100th guest is.
If we get into 100 episodes, we can have a flipping big guest on for that.
Okay,
you know,
fine.
An Earthling Ed, a Tash Peterson, a Moby, someone ridiculously huge. Because if we've got to 100 episodes and we can't do that, then that's ridiculous.
Well, but we did say we were going to stop at episode 98. But if we can get Jessica Chastain or Natalie Portman on, then I'll carry on.
just carry on for that one episode, yeah?
Yeah. We'll stop at episode 98 and then we'll do episode 100 and then we'll stop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Just quit at your peak.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, imagine. Anyway, I found out yesterday, Matthew Bainton, who is in Ghosts, Horrible Histories.
Yeah, I thought I knew the name. Yeah, Horrible Histories.
Yes, is vegan.
Oh, what a legend.
Yeah. He was on the Off Menu podcast, which is with James A. Custer and Ed Gamble.
I'm not sure now if Greg, the original founder of Horrible Histories.
Oh, yeah. He's okay.
He does the...
he does another history podcast, doesn't he?
Yeah, so it's You're Dead to Me.
Okay, yeah.
So it's a history-based comedy podcast. Yeah, they have a comedian. They have a comedian and a historian on, and they discuss thing. And I'm sure he said, that he was vegan.
Oh, brilliant.
Come on, listen. It is Greg Jenner, right?
That's really awesome. What else have we got to say? I think are we done?
Yeah, I can't really think of anything further.
Okie dokie.
I can't think of anything that's happened.
No worries. Well, in that case then, let's just say thanks ever so much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. And we will speak to you next time. Why not?
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us, give us a shout on Instagram at How I Vegan Podcast, or you can message us there. Tell us you want to come on. Tell us how great we are. And also, if you wanted to email us, you can do that too.
Yeah. Send us an email to howivegan podcast@gmail.com.